Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Yeah, welcome back. Right across the Triple M network, we do it for the Mitsubishi Triton. Plenty of stuff happening in the world of coaches. We've already talked about Stephen Kearney. Hopefully we'll get a chance this afternoon, but we will get a chance to talk about a few other coaches that are under the microscope at the moment, including the Broncos. Not to suggest that Anthony Seibold is under the microscope in terms of his future there, but certainly, well, then things aren't going to plan at the moment. But we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. Last night, Gordy, Hoops and Paul Kent, we saw an amazing game of footy. I thought the Roosters and Parramatta, it just had everything. It was such an entertaining game to watch. The polar opposite to the 3 o'clock game, which I called just quietly. But what a side both those sides are. Superstars and strike power all over the place. And Kenny, I want to start with the side that lost, Parramatta. You know, they go down one side, you've got Jennings, you go down the other side, you've got Wunga Blake and you've got Ryan Madison. They look like the real deal, and I know people know that, and I know that they lost, but they were good to watch.
Yeah, a lot of good came out of that for Parramatta last night, including, I think, Brad Arthur after the game, where he basically said the Roosters were too professional for them. I thought it showed a coach who's in control of his team, knows what they are, what they've got there, but also what they're capable of doing. And he wants to maintain a standard. He wants to challenge his players, I think, to reach that level of professionalism where the Roosters are at. Parramatta have got enormous strike. Another good sign I thought last night was the dressing room after the game. There was a vision of Mitchell Moses sitting there on the stool, and Gordon, you'd appreciate this. When you lose a game sometimes, that's a big game, that's a lot going into it, and then after the game, when particularly after they led 10-8 Parramatta and let the game slip away, you could see just had the disappointment in Mitchell Moses and how he was just devastated by the loss. He was just looking into empty space. His eyes weren't focused on anything. Obviously, he was just running through things in his mind. And to feel a loss like that is a good sign for the Eels. It shows that they know they're a good side, that they know they're capable of better, and that they will get better. I think there's a massive upside for Parramatta out of this. And, we may look back at the end of the year, at the end of the season, and actually say this was the turning point for the Eels, as good as they are already going. They were undefeated going to last night's game, their first loss. But by that same token, the Roosters showed them what level you've got to reach to win a comp.
Absolutely. Completing that 90%, the Roosters, is going to be so hard to beat. If I was playing for Parramatta or if I was coaching, just show them the last 20 minutes. For 60 minutes, you're in the fight, you know. What was it, 10-all or whatever?
10-8 in front they were.
Yeah, 10-8, and then just the championship rounds, you know, just the last 20 minutes. How can we improve that? What did they do better than us in the last 20 minutes? But they're in the competition, aren't they? The Eels, I thought that was a challenge that they needed. They showed that they're not far away, but in many ways they are a long way away because it's just the little things they got to get right. I think they turned over the ball 11 times. You can't do that to a quality side, Kenty.
No, the thing is too, you've got to get – this is part of Parramatta's development. They're a side that they're building their way into something. They're building their way into becoming a premiership force. And part of that is the education, and it's the experience of the things you do well and the things you need to learn to do well. And last night they went away with a lot of lessons. By no means, I think if you're a Parramatta fan, do you sit there and say, oh, okay, question how they're going to go this year. I think there's more good come out of last night's loss than bad. And this will be, as I said earlier, this will be a game I think the Eels will look back on, and they'll talk about it at some point as that's the game we learnt the most from this season.
And yeah, individually, as what you said, like you saw Mitchell Moses sitting there, Kenty. What are they thinking? Do they believe? And then sometimes you get a loss like that and you're sitting there going, they're not as good. We could have got them. We were this, or this.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sure the Eels last night, part of their disappointment was we had them and we let them off. Yeah. We can get them next time.
Boys, what about the other side of the coin, the Roosters? When we look at the way they played last night, and they got off to a slow start, didn't they, this year? And they wanted to put the competition points back to zero when we recommenced. But here's a side that could win three grand finals in a row. And Kenty, you're talking about players that consistently play at a level And they've got a number of them, led by Luke Keary, who I think plays so good, so consistently, that people forget to rap him for what he does. He is such a great player.
Magnificent player. Yeah, very, very good. He stepped into the breach that was created by Cooper Cronk's retirement. Kyle Flanagan is now his halves partner, who's not his experience, obviously. He's only in his first season of regular NRL football. And Luke Keary has just stepped up and filled that breach and become the player that that's the spark around their attack. But he's just also, they're a club that, the Roosters are a club that just, they just know what's necessary. They, the great professionals in any sport, and I talk about teams and I talk about individual efforts, individual sportsmen, a bloke like Tiger Woods or you know, a fighter like Muhammad Ali, or you talk about those guys, they just know what's required. And the Roosters as a unit are all in sync and they just know what's required. They refuse to panic when Parramatta got the front last night. They refused to let it worry them. They just went about keeping doing what they're doing and playing the style of football they are playing at the moment, the speed and tempo they're playing at, and still getting through 90% of their completions. The only concern I would say there is about the Roosters is that they might peak too early. Because I can't imagine how much better they're going to get, which then means you got to think, well, they've got 14 more rounds that they've got to maintain this standard. They are so on song at the moment. They're not going to go through undefeated. But I can't see the Roosters losing any more than 2-3 games for the rest of the year.
They're in red hot form, aren't they? And to your point about the fact that you hope they don't peak too early, that's the only thing, the way that you could possibly see them getting beat. We've seen Trent Robinson previously fine-tune players' schedules, right? Yeah. And who's playing when. And, you know, Anthony Seibold's spoken publicly about a rotation policy. You look at the Roosters last couple of weeks. Jared Waerea Hargraves didn't play last week, played last night. Lindsay Collins, who'd had a ball terror in Jared Waerea Hargraves' absence, got a rest last night. He's got
Orbison got a rest too, didn't he?
No, Orbison played last night. Yeah, he was on the bench.
Oh, there we are.
But
yes.
what he's been doing is I reckon that he has actually been utilising and implementing a little bit of a periodical chart there in terms of how he's using his roster, given this shortened version of the competition. And to your point about Keary, Anthony, like, you know, when the game was on the line and in the balance, bang, he's the one who pokes his nose through, targets Reid Marnie, finds Boyd Cordner. And from 10-8, when Parramatta appeared as though maybe they were riding the wave and had the momentum and were capable of getting home, crack bang, he produces a match-winning play. So that's what separates the great from the decent NRL players.
What we should do in the next couple of weeks, we used to do it a lot on this show and we don't anymore, let's get a copy of the 75 Roosters team, considered to be by some the best club side ever, the Roosters 75 side and the current Roosters side, and we'll match them up and see what the experts think. But we'll get to do that at another point. Most important, I just can't speak at the moment. Hang on a second. I'll start again.
Your falsies back in.
There we go. Maroons poll. What did he say?
Put your falsies back in.
Maroons poll. Was it the right time to punt Stephen Kearney? We know the Warriors have never got anything right in their history. Did they get this right? Was it the right time to punt Stephen Kearney? You can get us on the Triple M NRL Facebook page or at Triple M underscore NRL, where lots and lots of great feedback about the show so far today. what's going on at the moment,
Anthony?
Mate, you're looking at those Portuguese tarts and you can...
Yes, I know.
Your mouth watering.
Talking underwater with a mouthful of marbles at the moment.
I don't know what it is. I sat up late, had a large packet of chips and a big container of ice cream.
Oh, you let loose.
Started to watch a movie.
What flavour did you have?
Oh, just vanilla.
Yeah. Well, did you eat the whole tub?
Oh, would have eaten 3/4 of it.
Wow.
Like you ate it.
Jeez.
Chased it down with a packet of chips. And
what sort of chips?
Just the old. I like the chives and sour cream.
Oh, okay.
Christine gets me those. And then she said, don't eat those Portuguese tarts. They're for the boys tomorrow.
Oh.
So I badmouthed you blokes for a little bit. By then it was 10 to 1 and I thought I better...
For a little bit.
For a little bit. For about 3.5 hours. Yeah. I feel sorry for Christine some days. You come on here and bag her and then you go home and bag us.
Oh, that's right. As you know, I'm much happier talking about people behind their backs.
Yes.
Probably solve everyone's problem if you stayed home and she came and did the show.
All right, we're going to take a break and come back with a little bit of a look around the grounds. Plenty of things happening. Of course, Jack DeBellin back in court, James Graham, all sorts of stuff. We'll do that next as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
And welcome back to it. Yeah, we do it thanks to our friends at Mitsubishi Triton. And you can get one of those right across Australia. Also, Tyre Power. Right now you buy three and you get one free on selected Falcon passenger tyres. And they do make a good tyre, the old mob at Falcon. So thanks to them. Yesterday, Dragons 20, Titans 8. Tigers beat the Cowboys 36-20. And the Roosters beat Parra in the game of the year so far. Roosters 24, Parramatta 10. Now, just a little, few little odds and ends that are getting around at the moment that we do need to cover off, fellas. And we'll talk about Isaac Moses too before Paul leaves at 3. So tomorrow, Jack DeBellin is back in court. And, of course, for those who don't know the Jack DeBellin story, 5 charges of sexual assault, which he has pleaded not guilty. I wonder, boys, do we expect much to come out of this court case tomorrow?
Yeah, look, my understanding is we'll find out after the court case whether Jack DeBellin's allowed to back play for the Dragons or not. There's every indication that he'll either proceed with the court case or it'll be dropped tomorrow. So we wait and see. Now, I'm not going to speculate on what might happen or anything. My experience when you go to these sorts of court cases is anything is possible, so... We'll just wait and see. But there's a lot of people very confident that Jack will have charges dismissed tomorrow.
I reckon it could take a little bit longer than tomorrow, given the complexity of the case. And this is from my limited understanding of what is available to members of the media and the general public at the moment. But Kenty is right. I think at the end of this next period of time in court, Jack will either be sent to trial and will have to go and face trial, or there is a chance that it could get thrown out because of some of the complexities surrounding it. So
if it was to get thrown out,
yep.
Hoops.
Even if it isn't to get thrown out, Anthony, I think that the Dragons, let's say hypothetically that there is a trial date set, I think that the Dragons would then go back to the NRL and would lobby really, really strongly for Jack to be allowed to play, given the amount of time that he has already been forced to sit out on the sidelines as a result of this no-fault stand-down policy.
If he is given the green light to come back onto the field, would we see him back on the field next week?
Straight back.
Straight back into first grade.
Yep.
Do you think the way... The Dragons going and Mary McGregor's feeling the heat.
Yeah,
want to keep him off the field for any length of time?
Absolutely, and there's no other... I mean, you've got the current environment, you can't come up through another grade. You've got to get straight back out there.
And he has been training with them. He's very fit by all reports. He's obviously doing all the work with them. He's inside the bubble, so he's ready to go. If he's allowed to play, he's ready to go.
The other thing is, too, there's been some talk about other clubs having interest around Jack DeBellin. All the Dragons have been through with Jack DeBellin, and all he has been through, and I'm not touching the court case or what happened, what didn't happen. I'm not going down that road. But is he likely to, if, and it's a big if, walk away from all this and then go to another club?
Well, yes, in the modern game, anything's possible. I will say, given the fact he's still being paid, I think it'd be... I think he owes St. George something, and they've stood behind him the whole way through. So I think at some point you've got to repay the club for the faith they've shown in you.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Adam Elliott has been one shining light at the Doggies this year, Gordy. A lot of the Doggies players never stop trying, but certainly he, I think, heads that list at the moment. And there is some talk with him being off contract that he might change clubs at the end of the season. Certainly there'd be clubs queuing up to get the services of Adam Elliott.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, that would come as a bargain basement price. You know, I mean, like, he's not the really high end, and he goes out there and every week he's consistent. He's one of those guys that we were talking about earlier in the show that just gives you a 7 out of 10 performance every week, you know, and they're the guys you need in your organisation. But you wouldn't think that the Dogs would let him go, would you?
They can't afford to, can they, Gordon? Like, you look at players like Adam Elliott, Josh Jackson, they're the types of players that the Bulldogs need to really concentrate and hone in on building their club around. The interesting thing with Elliott, he's got the same agent, Dave Riolo, as Dean Pay, the coach. So, obviously, you know, at the moment, Dino is rightfully trying to get some clarity around whether he's going to have a future at Canterbury or not. And there's a board meeting coming up next Thursday that will hopefully be able to shed further light on that
So you're trying to say that the manager will use it as a bargaining tool?
No, what that means
is Adam Elliott will have a pretty good idea before anyone else what the coach is going to do whether the coach will be there or not. And that's important to Adam Elliott. He wants to know what's happening.
Well, it's important to every player.
Exactly.
That's right.
And that's why I think the Dogs have got to make a decision sooner rather than later about what they're doing and you either back him or sack him.
They just got to make the call. But they have. They can't keep dragging it out and, oh, no, we're not going to actually table any sort of formal offer or whatever yet. They've got $3 million to spend.
Well, they're trying to see who's still out there, Hoops. That's their problem. They're trying to have sort of foot in both camps. They like pay. There's not a knock on pay. They like him as a coach, but they're also saying, well, hang on, why have we got him? Who else is out there?
I think if it was Lynn and Chris Anderson's decision, I think they'd reappoint Dean, but there are other influences at the club and also around the edges of the club that have a very big say in things. Their membership base has an enormous voice in terms of what can happen. And when Lynn and Chris Anderson took over the club, they were promised that they were going to, you know, rebuild it around the family club and developing local juniors and, you know, that results weren't that far away. That's why they got rid of all these players who were on big contracts, the Moses Embiers, the Aaron Woods, all those sort of blokes. But unfortunately, they haven't been able to get the results. And, you know, Brent Reed came on Triple M yesterday and said that it had been put to a couple of Bulldogs board members that they should have a look at Wayne Bennett. Mm. So I think that, you know, that's also being considered as well at the moment.
Well, Bennett's available. We know that. So you'd be mad not to. Because he does have a good track record, doesn't he? He's one of the great coaches of the game. So.
Very great, yeah.
But more the talk this week's been around the Doggies having a crack at Craig Bellamy. Is there any truth to that, or is that just a big old bag of baloney?
Well, Bellyache kicked it into touch fairly emphatically in his press conference on
But that doesn't,
Friday
does
night.
That always answer the question?
Craig Bellamy, in all my experience with Craig's not a BS artist.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's straight down the line. So previously when the Broncos...
He doesn't have that built-in cop-out either. Some coaches go, I haven't spoken to whatever club you're talking about, but they say that knowing full well their manager has.
Yeah,
correct.
Bellamy even stipulated, I don't have a manager, so don't even go down that track.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting one. I don't know. I dare say that if the Bulldogs are now looking at Wayne Bennett, they'd also be looking at Craig Bellamy. Mm. There's no doubt.
And if they are looking at Craig Bellamy, Gordy, to bring you in on this.
Whether Bellamy's had the discussion or not, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, it's
well,
a big...
He kicked it in, like I said, Craig Bellamy couldn't have possibly been any more emphatic about the fact that it shan't be happening.
Okay, but are you talking about the press conference after the loss?
Yes.
Okay, so what you're telling me, Hoops, you think Craig Bellamy's going to go to a press conference after his team lost and someone's going to say to him, are you coaching the Doggies next year? And he's going to go, oh, yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Shoot straight, Anthony. What are you actually trying to say? Are you saying that he is?
I'm trying to say, are your ears painted on? Are you listening to what I'm saying?
I'm listening, but for a change, you're talking complete nonsense.
Craig Bellamy would have gone to the press conference now, and there's every likelihood that question would have been asked.
It was on the back page of the paper, on the front page of the paper that day.
I know that. I am saying he's not going to go to the press conference after his team's been beat and say...
Yeah, but there's other ways to handle it rather than a flat denial. If there's something to it, there are other ways to handle it rather than a flat denial, which is what he gave.
The Broncos tried to have a crack at getting Craig Bellamy last year, when he had to front the cameras, he was honest about it. Craig Bellamy, right, as much as rugby league involves a lot of people who'll bowl you flippers, half-truths, and all sorts of other jibber-jabber at times. Craig Bellamy's a straight shooter. There's no BS in him. And I believe his answers in the press conference were how it is. I don't think he has got any interest in going to Canterbury. I don't think it will be happening. I think it was off the mark. Yeah, there's probably people at the Bulldogs that have got his name on a wish list.
Yeah.
But, you know,
haven't spoken to him yet.
As you often say, Maroon, you wanted to date Jennifer Hawkins back in the day, but you never got a chance.
No, I wanted to date Shania Twain, and I still do. A couple of weeks on the Gold Coast with Shania. But if they do go after Craig Bellamy.
But can she cook a Portuguese tart?
Well, she can sure afford a couple of kilos of them.
Man, I feel like a woman.
Gordy. You got to hand it to the Doggies, though, if they do have a crack at Craig Bellamy. At least they're starting at the top. This is what I mean.
I think these they're going to have a crack at Bennett, Anthony. I think they're going to more have a crack at Wayne Bennett. Let the Craig Bellamy thing go. I know it's hard for you to fathom it and process it at the moment, but you just got to accept.
He heard it at the Bankstown RSL hoop.
Yes,
he's got to get it out.
I heard it.
He's
where?
Been in the area.
You're normally rock solid because you and Dino Pay and Aaron Mullen are on the side of those buses out at
the Bankstown RSL.
You're normally rock solid around
I am rock solid about.
Why aren't you defending Dino?
I am defending
you're
Dino.
Not. You're sitting here and saying, why wouldn't they chase Craig Bellamy?
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if as Paul said, if they're having a look around, you know, I'm only doing my job. What I'd suggest you do
you're dribbling
is
what you're
do
doing.
Your job.
You are
it's
dribbling.
Only taken you 91 minutes, but you are finally giving me the shits today. It's only taken you 91 minutes. Anyway, let's move on, guys.
Last time this happened, you went missing for 3 days.
I did.
There's no Macca's close, is there? Make sure he doesn't take his keys.
If I take off, mate.
It was the pub across the road.
Yeah, it was the Brookvale Hotel.
Exactly. Mm. That's it.
Tim Simona has returned to play rugby in the Shoot Shield for Eastwood. I wonder what this means in the long run. Is he just sort of having a little bit of a run with the kick and clap mob, or what do you think?
Look, he's clearly got intentions of hopefully one day coming back. It's going to depend on the game's capacity or
to forgive.
Well, yes, it is. And whether they've got the attitude.
They've got to stand for something.
What did he allegedly do again?
Wasn't he ripping off kids' charities and punting on games?
He's big sin, and it wasn't a big bet, okay, but his big sin was that he backed the bloke he was marking to be first try scorer. Oh.
That's a big, big...
Well, it wasn't a lot of money, though, but it was concerning, clearly.
Also, wasn't he getting memorabilia autographed and then saying it was for charity and...
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, poor bloke. I hope he's...
Good luck to him in rugby
exactly.
union. Good luck to him playing rugby union for Ryde, Eastwood, or whoever he's playing for.
Hopefully he's kicked off the demons and he's okay.
I'll say this. Look, I'm not a fan of what he did, obviously, but I think there's people who have been done much more serious crimes.
Yeah, 100%.
And not only allowed back, but are currently back in the game. So that's a funny one. I don't know. I do know in America, you look at a bloke like Pete Rose, who was caught backing his team to win and has been barred from baseball, is the all-time greatest hit maker, number of hits in American baseball, and is not in the Hall of Fame because of it.
Mm.
And that's been over 30 years. It was back in the 80s that happened. So they've got a long memory over there. It's one of the enduring stories over there about whether he should ever be allowed in the Hall of Fame, given his record against what he did. Having said that, I think the American sports also changed the way it's approached a lot of those what were before non-negotiables. So
I reckon you'd be hard pressed for anyone, Kenty, who like I haven't got an issue if players want to back their own team to win. I don't have that much of a drama with that.
Well, but everybody
when
said
you,
that.
On your opposite number, you can directly have an influence on that.
Hey,
and not only that.
There's plenty of your life that bet on footy. There's plenty of times in your life. Just keep them away from not betting because it just opens up a can of worms.
Yeah, I agree. I tend to think even if you're backing yourself, it can influence how you play.
Mm.
I remember years ago when I was playing at Arimba,
we backed slow horses and it affected how they played.
Yeah, well, it did. That's true.
So, no, mate, it does.
What were you saying about Arimba?
I said when we were playing Arimba one day, we backed the opposition team wanted to bet, so we all threw in. We had a few grand on the game and we got rolled. I think they got to the referee, to be honest.
Yeah.
We led 22-4 at halftime and got beat. We're all thinking about the money.
Okay. Let's leave that there. The final one on the around the grounds list. It's always something going on at the Dragons, isn't there? James Graham this week asked for a release so he could return to the UK Super League, and I would suggest at the festivities after the game yesterday that perhaps he's played his last game for the Dragons.
Yeah, it looked like they all... Well, Paul McGregor addressed that in the press conference afterwards, and all the players went up and gave him a hug in the dressing room after the game, and when McGregor was asked about it, he said, well, we don't know if it's his last game, but the boys wanted to make sure that if it was, they handled it the right way and farewelled in the right way. We don't know. If there's a deal pops up at St Helens, he could well go tomorrow. I understand what he's doing. I think that James, the game's gotten quicker, and I think as a senior player, I think he's certainly a smart man, and he saw what was going on, and if there's an opportunity to go back and play a little bit longer at the St Helens club, good luck to him.
Well, Blocker Roach called it on the Matty Johns podcast with you three or four weeks ago, where, you know, if anyone's qualified to talk about playing in the front row, it's Block. And he just said, look, he has been a lion-hearted player his entire career, punched above his weight, playing in the hardest position there is on the field. But it has got to the stage in his career where it's time. And so as a result of
that,
I think James has decided that he doesn't want to entirely walk away from the game yet. And so he's had a long and decorated history at St Helens as well. And so he's opened up that line of communication. He'll return home.
Yeah, and I think if you play 10 years for a club over there, you know, you get that big testimonial year, and that's where he started. I think he played nine years. And when he came out here, I'd never really heard of him. And he was that good and changed the game that every coach come up with his play where he'd go to the line and hit it out the back and the Dogs went to the grand final. Well, that was his style of footy. He would come, he had a short pass in him, he was tough as teeth. Like, he took on Burgess. Like, he took on... I reckon he's not the biggest guy, but he took on the toughest guy in the pack, and that was his challenge every week. And if he thinks that he's had enough and his body doesn't want to pay the price anymore over here in the NRL, you know, good luck to him. He's been an amazing servant. I think, what is it, over 400 first-grade games?
Yep.
Or first-class games or whatever they would call it.
And then you throw in all the test matches as well. Yeah, I think he's played 50 tests for England.
Yeah, unbelievable player. Unbelievable player. Loves it. And doesn't he love a pint after a game too?
I think he does. I think he would be your style of a bloke, Gordon.
Boys, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll do more. We'll talk about the situation with Isaac Moses being deregistered and get the thoughts of our panel on that. Hoops, Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis and Maroon as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
And good afternoon. If you've just joined us, welcome to the Sunday Sin Bin on Triple M. Thanks to the Mitsubishi Triton. And scores from last night, if you missed them, there was a couple of good games on. The first one, or the most important one, was that one with the Roosters beating Parramatta 24-10. Tigers 36, Cowboys 20, Dragons 20, Titans 8 on Saturday afternoon. Those scores all thanks to Tyre Power. And it's time for this.
Welcome to Maroon's Trivia Night.
Yes, well, we will be back in pubs and clubs in the not-too-far-distant future. I get so much communication, correspondence across my desk every week. When are we starting up the trivia again? But right now, we are just doing it on the radio just to make you feel like it hasn't gone anywhere. Prize today, as you know, boys, we don't have a budget for a prize, so I try and sort that out myself. Christine Maroon, my wife's made some Portuguese tarts, said, take these to work, give them to the boys. I said, what I'll do is I'll pull them up and give them away as a prize. So I've left them in the boot of the car, but they'll be okay. They're in foil. So we'll duck down and get them when the show's over. Three correct answers.
Just
your
make
name.
Make sure you grab the right foil, boys.
What do you mean by that? You palooka, huh? All right. Your name is your buzzer.
God, please be yourself, Gordon.
Here we go. Name is your buzzer. This is just general knowledge. What do we call a fear of spiders?
Paul. Arachnophobia.
And it's 1-0. Question number two. In the Rocky movies, this is right up your alley, Paul, so get on your buzzer here, Hoops, and look interested. And you too, Gordon. In the Rocky movies, what is the name of Rocky's
Brother-in-law.
Paul.
Paul.
Paulie.
Paulie! 2-0. Oh, this is going to be the biggest clean
sweep.
Yeah,
but you had to say it with, like, with his accent. You're Paulie. You're Paulie.
And as a bonus point...
Paul, why don't you give Gordon a bonus point for that? Lucy's participating.
Yeah, on your Paul. Yeah, that's all right.
Jump in, mate.
You get participation award, Gordon.
It's 2-1.
Good on you, mate.
It's 2-1 there.
Thanks,
Andy. 2-1.
You keep licking those windows, Gordon. You're going good.
They all taste right. Quite all right, actually.
Are you? Does your buzzer work, Hoops?
Yes, it does, Anthony.
Okay, here we go. Next question. Your name is your buzzer. What type of creature was Stuart Little?
Paul.
Paul. Cordy.
Mouse.
Ah, it's 3-1. He's killed it. He's absolutely killed it. Congratulations. Congratulations, Paul. Well, I don't know what we're going to do for the next 15 minutes now.
Mate,
you have won the...
I really wanted the tarts.
What a golden point.
Hey, want to go for a golden point? All right.
Yeah,
so what, maybe
I'll set this one out.
All right. Now,
wait for a second, you guys.
I'll come pull on. One of the tarts out of the...
Come on, this could go
come
for 15
on, Paul.
Minutes.
No, mate, I want to show up one of those tarts.
Yeah, maybe you personally know Stewie.
Just borrow his car every now and then, Gordon.
Did he borrow his car? In his little suit.
Okay, here
this
we go.
This is Maroon's best ever pub trivia.
What song? What type of car is mentioned in the song "Boys of Summer"? What type of car is mentioned in the song "Boys of Summer"? Out on the road today, I saw a deadhead sticker on a
Cadillac.
Yes, but we have to take the point away because he Gooey. Didn't use his buzzer. So it's still...
you love this.
1-0 Gordy.
He's right in amongst his element here.
Here we go. What's the most common letter used in the English language?
Gordy.
Hoops.
E.
Yep. Yes, E is correct. 1-1. 1-1 for second place. Consolation prize is 1 Portuguese tart. In what American city is Madison Square Garden?
Hoops.
Yes.
New York.
Yeah, 2-1. Last question. You need this one, Gordon, to get back in. What's Medusa's hair made of? What's Medusa's hair made
Easy.
Of?
Easy.
Why is that funny?
Hoops.
Yes, Hoops.
Snakes.
Yes, that's correct. Why is that funny?
I don't know where you got
Why
those
is
questions
that funny?
From, Anthony. It's
well,
very
congratulations. Paul's won the Portuguese tarts.
What do I got? I got half a tart.
You'll get one of the tarts out of the Tupperware.
Tart. That's good.
Gordon, you get nothing. It's a good thing because I don't know how I was going to get them to up there in the Brisbane studio.
Mm.
They would have had to be quarantined too when you were sending them across the border.
They would have. They would have. I might have had to smuggle them in on my person. Let's take a break and we'll come back.
Oh, you couldn't help yourself.
And talk about
it. The old jar wallet.
As Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sin Bin on Triple M. And it's all thanks to the Mitsubishi Triton. Hoops, Kendi, Gordon, tell us, what have I missed here?
You're in it.
You're a
the conversation in the off.
What?
The break, you palooka.
What did I do? I don't know what...
You said, oh, just imagine having a kid when you're 50, a young one.
Oh, and you've got... see, I love the way he does...
Thanks, mate.
See what we talk about off air. Just a basic rule of radio, Gordy, that I learned at the Max Rowley Radio School in 1984. What you talk about off air, that's private. You don't bring it to on air.
No, it's not private, mate.
Huh?
It's not private when you're bagging
I was saying... We'll have to have the chat now. I was saying that I wouldn't like to be my age and have little kids. Forgetting, of course, Gordy, that you have got little kids, and I didn't mean any disrespect.
Gordon's not your age.
No, he's a lot younger.
He's
a lot younger. Yeah. What are you, Gordy? 48? 47?
47.
47. Yeah. Okay. Well,
and got a little Billy. Wouldn't change it for the world.
No, of course you wouldn't. You wouldn't, and I don't blame you. And I apologise. I didn't mean any offence by that. Moving right along.
66 at his 21st. Who's granddad, sir?
Yeah. I just can't believe he just raises it on air, you know?
Yeah. Don't laugh, Maroon. You'll be 80. Yeah, you won't be invited. If I'm 66, you're 80.
No, I'm not that old, mate. I'm not that old. Let's talk about Isaac Moses being deregistered. Now, this came early in the week. Hoops, tell us why and what that means for those who have deals in place with Isaac.
Okay, so initially Isaac Moses got served with a breach notice that his accreditation could possibly be cancelled. And I've got to speak a little bit carefully here because it is a legal minefield and I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Mm.
So basically, Isaac got a breach notice last year from the NRL, essentially because Tim Manor had gone in and spoken to the NRL's integrity unit and he had told them that during the Parramatta investigation a couple of years ago when the Eels were punished and stripped of premiership points and fined because of salary cap rorting, that Isaac had coached Tim Manor not to be entirely upfront with the NRL integrity unit. And so as a result, the NRL integrity unit did further investigations and decided to issue this breach notice. Then the NRLs continued to work away. Isaac immediately went very legal and straight away had a team of lawyers sending all sorts of threats all over town that his registration should not be cancelled and defending himself. And then as recently as last week, the NRL put out a release which said that they have an intention, and this is where it's critical to get this bit right. They haven't actually deregistered him yet. They have served him with a notice that they intend to deregister him, but if he wants to appeal, which he will, no doubt, then he can go in and he's entitled to a full hearing in front of the NRL Appeals Tribunal, and they'll hear all the evidence, and then at the end of it, they'll decide whether his registration should or should not be cancelled. But as it stands at the moment, that's what they plan to do.
I got an interesting question for you. If the NRL have suspended him or have given notice that they intend to, based on a player giving evidence that he was coached in a previous investigation to lie to the investigation, why isn't that previous investigation now not reopened?
No idea.
It should be. I don't think Parramatta should be punished again.
Mm.
But certainly, if this is what this latest case is, that essentially a player alleged that his agent coach him to lie through a previous investigation, then I think it's incumbent upon the game to actually reopen the previous investigation and make sure it's all sweet.
Does it matter that all the previous members of that Parramatta board have since been overthrown? The CEO's gone. None of them are around anymore, though. That's point.
Probably
none of them
true.
Are around
that's,
anymore.
No, that,
so
that,
what do you...
Well, what about players and agents back then?
Yeah, well, certainly there were other players and agents involved in the investigation.
Yeah,
there might be nothing there.
But yep. I also think it might be incumbent upon the game to actually say, well, okay, if we believe a fraud has taken place, we need to relook at it. And so, certainly they indicate they believe that because they've charged the agent now for coaching the player how to be interviewed.
I think... Go for your life.
What happens to all of his... Yeah, talent, play.
Yeah, look, it's a fair question, Gordon. Look, Isaac was very quickly on the front foot last week and stipulating that his client list have all signed contracts, not with him personally, but with a company that he is in charge of. So I believe it's Cove Agency is the name of the company. Now, there was a suggestion earlier in the week that any players that were signed with him, if his registration is in fact cancelled, they could immediately tear up their management agreement with him and they no longer had to pay their 6.5% or whatever the fee that he charges is. So I am guessing that for a lot of players, that would hold some appeal if they wanted to. Now, if you're looking at a $400,000, $500,000 a season contract, well, 6.5% of that's a reasonable
amount.
Anthony, you're the numbers man, but that's a reasonable amount of dough.
Absolutely. Well, I'm getting a bunch of emails now about when does happy hour begin. Well, it's only a couple of minutes away because, Paul, you are about to leave us this afternoon. Have you got anything to add before you take off?
No, I haven't.
All right. Well, we'll catch you on NRL 360. And it's been a pleasure being in your company today.
Anthony, I've agreed with you today for probably... Certainly the first, probably the last time.
Yeah. But I think you want to agree with me more, but it's just that, you know, you're a part of the mob.
Not really,
you're part of the mob.
No. You look, I would say with you, Anthony, even a broken clock is right twice a day. So.
the old broken clock.
All right. Well, I actually find that it's been a pleasure to see you today.
It has been, Anthony.
And
I really enjoy it.
I will catch you on NRL 360. Where you blokes... Hey, I tell you what...
you got stuck into poor old Reedy the other night, and get stuck into him again. I'll tell you why. Because a couple of weeks ago when I said, here, what's the atmosphere like? And he said, well, there's no one here at the footy.
And there wasn't.
And now everywhere I go, I've got to hear, you know, people bringing that up. And there was people there.
No, there
wasn't. You didn't let me finish the question on the day. I was going to say, they're letting in 200 people. What's the atmosphere like?
We will go to the audio. We will go to the tape. The question was finished. It was a loose carry from you, and you're now attempting to smother it with jibber-jabber.
We won't go to the
tape. Cut you off.
We won't go
to
the tape.
We can do it anytime
because it's not
like.
1982. So we'll catch you on Fox, Paul.
Goodbye.
And we'll come back with more as Triple M rocks the Sunday Simbin.
The Triple M Sunday Simbin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.